attended the conference. It was really nice to see him and talk with him. I had never met him in person, so that was awesome. But the conference is a lot of information, and so for me to kind of bring a synopsis of what I learned or a synopsis of what I heard would be maybe not as helpful for you guys to find this. Talk from scripture. So I'm going to teach a passage in scripture and experience connected with the message that we heard many times at certain conferences this week because it has to do with us proclaiming in the world, showing the world Christ and his gospel and his salvation. So that's what I'm going to do this week. But I'm going to start with a word of prayer because we'll join with me. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can be here today and study your word. And I thank you that you have given us great resources in this. Pastors and elders in this church being able to attend the shepherd conference this week. Lord, this is one thing that you're great in our hearts to be overflowing with the goodness of the message that you heard. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me as I bring a message this morning from your word and that the true message we get across, my goal, Lord, this morning is to magnify your word and today before the congregation so that we can see your glory and your goodness and Lord, that they would apply judgments and the things that they use in their lives. And I pray that you would be honored and glorified through me and through your word this morning. I'm going to teach from Matthew chapter 5 this morning, and I'm going to be a little bit all over scripturally. And so, you can start in Matthew chapter 5, and you can hold your finger there, or maybe your finger there, and if you're page flip or you want to try to flip to all of the passages, that might be difficult. There's a few that I'll ask you to turn to. But Matthew chapter 5 should be the launching point. It's not necessarily the one passage that speaks depth to this. But because of the passage, I'm launching off into a lot of other places. So, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. It is the Sermon on the Mount, and so there is a crowd there. But if you look at the first verse of Matthew chapter 5, it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And so he's surrounded by, most closely, his disciples. And it's not necessarily just the 12 for us, anymore, who would call themselves followers. He opened his mouth and began to teach them then. So we start this sermon on that one with his teaching, probably a crowd there gathered, but closely hearing him up front with these disciples who have gathered to him. So, the passage this morning is over there in verse 14. So, a little bit further. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Jesus says to these who are gathered, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light. What does that mean? Unapproachable light. There is visible, actual, visible light that surrounds God. Paul is blinded on the road to Damascus, you know, the story of his conversion realm. He describes this to King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, verse 13, as a light from heaven brighter than the sun. So immediate vision light, the grandest vision that we can have of what light is the sun. But Paul says he was a light brighter than the sun. It blinded him. That's God. That is irritating crown that surrounds our stupid apostles. That's the shadow of where you should go. But we hear a lot of things about God's incredible glory. And it's most often seriously represented by light. But just to finish the point, I want to remind you of Moses. And he went up on a mountain, and he met with God. But he came down, his face was glowing, right? He was glowing, and he put a towel on his coat over him. And he was in the presence of God. And he came out, and he was physically glowing. So the prophet Ezekiel is called the prophet in Ezekiel 1, 21 and 28, and receives the amazing thing that unfolds. You should read Ezekiel 1 for it. Ezekiel sees a vision of the throne room. And it speaks of something like the awesome gleam of a crystal. And it expands. And these creatures. And then he says the one is like a throne. Something like a throne. And he sees the glory of God. And he sees the Lord himself. In Ezekiel chapter 1, it says, then it was, above the expanse of over your head, there was something resembling a throne, like lapis lazuli in appearance. So the stone. And on that which resembled a throne, high up on a figure, with the appearance of a man. Then I noticed, from the appearance of his loins and upward, something like glowing metal that looks like fire all around within it. I'm a welder. Maybe you're a welder. But imagine a glowing ember or a piece of steel in a truck all the way within, all the way through, like molten, almost. Yet you can almost see through it. It's almost transparent in a way. The whole item is glowing all the way you see within it. It's bright. Or ember that is so hot. And when the fire is so hot, you almost can't look at it. That's what we see in the sun, this constant fire and explosion. This is a glowing metal that looks like fire all around within it. And from the appearance of the glowing downward, I saw something like fire. Something like fire. He was saying it was fire. If it was fire. But he didn't know how to describe it. It was something like fire. It was bright, glowing, hard to look at, and I think maybe it was squishy. How are you explaining what I see? And then the other verse 27 right after this, it says, and there was a rain around him. As the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, and when I saw it, I fell on my face. The Lord dwells in unapproachable light. He is unexplainably bright with glory. The Lord is light. John saw the same glory. In Revelation 4, he records it much the same way. He talks about the sea of glass and like crystal before the throne. He says that there is a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald. And his Lord, he dwells in light. In him there is no darkness. He created the light. That is the sun. Right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formed in sinful light, and darkness covered over the deep night. And the Spirit of God moved over the waters. consider passing it on to return. There's a description of the nature of Islam, or the aesthetic of the kingdom of heaven. Revelation 21:22. And I saw no sanctuary in it, for the Lord God Almighty is thy sanctuary. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God are illuminated, and its lamp is the Lamb. He meant his light, his healing. He created light. And so his message, his word, is rightly called light. When Jesus was presented at the temple and he was just a baby, there was another man whose name was Simeon, and he was a devout follower of God, who loved the world. And it says, just before it says, the Holy Spirit was upon him. And he takes baby Jesus in his arms, blessing and holding the Son of God as a baby in his arms. And in Luke 22:28-33, Peter chapter 2. First Peter is written to a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. And you can look at the Old Testament and you can apply it to the New Testament believers with another message for another time. A people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellency of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you, once were not people, and now you are the people of God. You have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. All that we portray to the world is not our own. We need to understand that. We need to realize that we are reflecting the light that has been shown on us and that we've been brought into. We've been brought into His marvelous light. But so we shine. We are exuding and shining Christ. We need His love, not our own. There is no ember. We are wholly, completely dark, lost, dead, dead in our sin. My analogy this week, one of the preachers gave, I've heard this before, but he said, you know, you hear it said that in the gospel, you know, somebody is like casting out a line, and there's, you know, they're drowning, and you cast out a line, and you can receive salvation, come to the Lord. And then you shout out, and you on that line, and you bring in, and God brings in. He said, no. They are dead at the bottom of the ocean. They are completely lost and dead in their sin. You can do nothing to save them. You can cast out a line all day long. They cannot grab on another. They cannot save themselves. What Christ has done through salvation is bring dead people to life. They are dead in darkness and sin. So we have Christ. We become Matthew 5 with the city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Cannot be hidden. Many of you here, you should see an evil existence member. Just glowing like a fireball is coming out. You can still see, you know, like a night light in the hallway when you go to the bathroom and you're like looking through the door. And you might be like just a little glowing Christian. You are truly redeemed. You're in Christ. Don't be a prominent Christian. Right? Don't hide it. Don't put it under a basket. You are already thinking that your faith is a private matter. What you believe is personal to you. You don't need to talk about it in public or share it with people. I'm spiritual and I believe, but that's just me, I don't know about you. That's not what there is. If that is you, you are not living out what you've been called to live. You are not living the way that you've been called to live. You are fabricating some idea of what living faithfully looks like. Read the word. He says, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Know the light of the lamp and put a basket over it. So shine. Shine your light. We are put on Christ. We are in Christ. And I read already earlier, 1 John 1, verse 5. He continues on in verses 6 and 7. If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not do the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I want to give you the two quick points of application here today. How can I let my life shine? How do I do this? How do you go from being never to be a blazing bonfire for Christ? How do you shine your light? Of course, the application is free from sin. Free from sin. 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12, and I already read verses 9 and 10. Right after he says to them that they are chosen people, right? They are called to proclaim the excellencies of Him
good on earth as an Adam and Tommy, but God, I've heard you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against your soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the being in which they slander you as evil doers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they deserve them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Flee from sin, walk in a way that is excellent before the world. Galatians 5:16, this is simply, it is easier said than done, but it is simply stated. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Sounds so simple, right? Walk by the Spirit, people. Praise the Lord, Holy Spirit. Let's be in the Word. Let's be praying daily. Let's be teaching the Lord for guidance and direction in every area of our lives. So that leads to the second point of application. Follow Christ. Free from sin to follow Christ. Now, I don't mean here metaphorically being a Christ follower. You know, there's billions of those. We don't need anymore. We need people who literally follow Christ. Like, he's your head, he's your example. What are you going to do today? I don't know, but I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to do what Christ tells me to do in his word and in his will for my life. And you, Christ, for Philippians 2:1-5, I have that written in pen and scribbled on the page. Yeah. I kind of fell out this morning. This is going on after the churches. Philippians 2:1-5. This is a lot of faith. Paul says to the church in Corinth, and when I came to you, brethren, I have not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, but my need is the testimony of God. For I have heard that there is nothing among you except Christ. Jesus Christ, and he is crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in trembling, and I said to you, my preaching would not be persuasive words, everything else, but a demonstration of the Spirit and the power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. We wish to be nothing else. We wish to be nothing else. We wish to do nothing else. We wish to show in our lives nothing else but Christ and Him crucified. That should be our goal. That should be our aim. And I've already been in 1 Peter 2 a lot, but later in the same chapter, he gives a kind of application that they should be Christ followers. 1 Peter 2:21-25, I'll end with this. He says, for you have been called in this purpose. Since Christ also suffered for you, making you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any disease found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we would die to sin and live to righteousness, or by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Amen. Follow Christ. God is the light of the world. God emanates light. He created light. His Son brought life down. The gospel message of salvation is spreading light all about. Spreading light all about. We as his followers need to be obedient and glowing in the light of the gospel of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the many challenging statements that you made, and specifically here in the